Evo Looter.
Hey everyone, welcome to Turnbuckle Boogie. I'm Timothy Styles, and with me is Cutthroat Cody.
Hello.
So I should start out this intro by saying that as of 3:30 this afternoon, I received my second Pfizer dose of the vaccine.
Oof.
And I should mention that when I received my first dose, at a certain point in my sleep, I was hallucinating.
No, really?
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
No, not the fun kind, because oh, no. I was having such a lucid dream that I thought I was in a public bathroom, and I was killing a man with my hands and feet. And at a certain point, I got him on the ground, and I started throwing these stiff heel kicks as hard as I could right into his face. Right? He's on the ground.
Yeah, man.
I woke up and I realized I was doing that to my wife's leg.
Oh, no. Did she kick you out of the bed?
No, but she did exclaim, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Fucking A, man.
Anyway, folks, so the point is, I bring all that up to say, if I start going loopy, that's what it is. I'm already starting to kind of feel hot. I've got the fan going in here, whatever. But anyway, folks, if this is your first time listening to the show, Cody and I, we get together every week and we talk shop about professional wrestling. Isn't that something?
That is something else, isn't it?
And we don't watch the wrestling shows week to week. There are plenty of shows that do that for us, so we don't need to do it. So, like, you're not going to hear, like, a Raw recap, like, hey, this week on Raw.
We might have some talking points and some things that happen here and there, but we're both very busy guys.
Sure. And plus, I'm watching New Japan. Let's talk about what's happened in New Japan this week. Anyway, the point is I didn't even watch WrestleMania for the first time ever, and we'll talk about that after the intro. But I did have my friend, James Mattern, comedian in New York, give me his report of WrestleMania, and I'm going to play that right after the intro.
Alright, Turnbuckle Boogie. I'm talking in the streets of Manhattan. It's chilly, it's cold. Everyone's talking about WrestleMania still. People think there's another night going on right now. They're like, what's tonight's matches? They're just not used to two nights. Look, Mania was great. But I also feel that people are going a little crazy because they're just happy that it was happening and there's people there. You could have put, seriously, the corpses of Lord Littlebrook and Little Beaver and just put them in the middle of the ring on top of each other for 8 minutes. And people have been like, oh my God, you see how that was worked? That's so much better than watching the Young Bucks kick each other. Like, there's a little bit of that. It was fun. It was nice. And I hate the fact that Roman Reigns is so good at a bad guy. I really liked not liking him because I was told to like him. And now that I'm supposed to not like him, it makes me want to like him, and I still don't want to like him, so I'm just fucking confused, everybody. So other than that, as a tribute to Dave Meltzer, I'm giving WrestleMania 31 stars. That's night 4, which I think is happening now. All right, have fun, guys. Turnbuckle Boogie forever. Bam Bam Terry Gordy.
I am getting hot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I ruffled your feathers quite a bit beforehand. We had a lot of misfires and mistakes. I was getting a little bit long-winded in the intro segment of the show.
Well, so did I. But, no, look, I don't expect everyone who sits down with me in front of a microphone to know all the, you know, sort of radio things that I know and the podcasting things that I know.
Yeah, man.
You can't, I mean, like, right off the top of my head, visual jokes don't work here.
No, and as I was putting my finger on my nose and then pointing at you so I could wait my turn to speak, nobody got to see that.
Right. And also, you made a joke about something that we talked about off the air. No one's going to get it. Why bother?
Yeah,
and it only proves to be confusing.
Yes, very, very much so. But And I'm doing better because I listen to the show back, and also I have a really bad fucking habit of like bringing people up without giving them context behind who they are.
Oh yeah,
because no. I'm so used to only talking and interacting with the exact same people all the fucking time.
Well, I think it's that I put people at ease, right? I sit people down and I chat with them.
Yeah, man.
And then they feel that they could just be like, yeah, me and Brian, and you know, we do that. Like, who the fuck is Brian?
Yeah, man. So I do, and I want to make life easy on you, man. You're taking your time and you're doing this for both of us. Like, this is something that I'll try to meet you a little bit more on that tail end, my friend.
No, it's a learning experience.
Fuck yeah, it is.
That, you know, I put in a bunch of years. I don't expect everyone to know this sort of stuff. Anyway, so as I mentioned in the intro, I did not see WrestleMania. I hear it was good, though.
I only got to watch
Go
ahead.
Let me be clear. I heard that parts of it were good, though. That's what I meant to say.
Yes. So I watched most of the first night. I think there was maybe two matches that I missed because I just, for time constraints, I'm like, I can go back and watch Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman later. Mm-hmm. There was some things that I thought for myself were imperative to watch on the card. And once again, not a complete recap, but just to kind of summarize, I thought that Cesaro and Seth Rollins was really good.
I mean, at this point, it kind of has to be, right? Because yes, these guys have been wrestling each other at this point for 20 years.
And not only that, but Cesaro is fucking amazing. And I think the shame with him is that English is not his first language, which my mother refuses to believe to this day, because we actually...
Because he's so fluent in it?
Yes, but not necessarily. Like, if you heard the promo that he cut on Rollins before Mania, he was kind of losing his footing a little bit, and you can tell it wasn't because of incompetence, it was because of English not being his first language.
He's as fluent at English... as, well, not maybe me.
Yeah, man.
Maybe as much as you.
Mayhaps.
But like, and I'm willing to bet that his vocabulary is steps above.
I would have to show you this promo so you can understand what I'm saying.
All right, fair enough. But look, I've not heard him speak. I don't think it's the language thing. I think it's his personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's not Hulk Hogan. Hey, let me tell you something. This Saturday night at the Superdome, brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just a normal dude who happens to be a mega athlete, right? And yes, he could, if you wanted him to be like, all right, here's your new gimmick. You're a model on loan from Milan, and you are going to have a match. Like, that's the, I think I'm explaining Tyler Breeze's gimmick.
But imagine, it's a little bit like that, yeah.
But imagine it on Cesaro. I guess he could do it, but it's not going to be any better. Wouldn't you rather them be themselves? You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, and...
And if the dude's just a really boring coffee drinker, you know, then that's the best you're going to get, I guess.
And it's one of those things, I think, for me, just because, as stated before in previous episodes, I've just more... I give a fuck more about matches than I do anything else. And it's, he is so strong, number one.
Right.
And he is just a talent beyond compare. And
he's been really good for a very long time.
And that's also another thing too, is that he hasn't hit the peak yet. You know, like, he's still prime time. Like, this is, that it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here after giving him the win at Mania, because right, they're either going to A, let him have that one thing and then put him right back in the deep shuffle that they have.
Well, look, I don't mean to step on what it was I was going to talk about. I didn't watch WrestleMania because I've really grown kind of tired of the WWE's production, i.e. yes, its product. And if go back and listen to the past four episodes
yep,
to hear more about that in detail. And by the way, I was hoping to come in here and be positive, but then the whole string of stinky things happened with the WWE this week, because once I heard, like, oh no, it was actually, you know, mostly a good show, I was like, really? And then I turned on Raw, and
here comes D-Day.
5 minutes later, I was like, yuck, what have they done?
Yep.
Right back to the stinker.
Yeah, man.
But the point is he went right back into a feud with Seth Rollins during this episode of Raw. So it's like, oh, okay, we'll get more of this.
Well, and I'm sure it's going to produce some really good matches. And also, Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks was out of this fucking world.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one of the most important matches that's probably taken place within the last 5 years.
Yeah, you think so?
Yes.
I've not seen it. I've only heard how fantastic it was. Everything I've seen is emotion pouring out of these girls' faces, which is, you know, we've talked about in the past. That's what you want as a wrestling fan. You want to see these people believe they're in the positions that they're in. These two do. Now, it happens more often with girls than it does with guys, because girls are a bit more emotional than men, I find.
And that's chemically.
Sure.
Yes.
And they let it all out.
Yes.
And then they proceeded to do, as far as what I've heard, is, you know, a series of modern day, you know, chaining high spots and stuff together and giving a pretty exciting tale. And then it wrapped up.
Coming from somebody that is very in tune with what modern day wrestling looks like, this did not look like a modern day match. There was still a very high level of athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
One thing to say specifically, for those that haven't seen the match, like, listen, wrestling's fake. I'm going to spoil a little bit of magic for y'all, because everyone already knows there's Twitter and GIFs and all that other shit. Sasha Banks goes to hit a dive on Bianca. Bianca catches the dive, and normally this is a move that you see inside of the ring. When somebody catches a cross body block off the top rope from inside of the ring, they'll catch and they'll bump and then they'll back roll, and then they'll be able to have the person in a precarious position in order to deliver a move. And Bianca Belair then went from hiking her up from chest level into a fucking military press.
Right. Fireman carry to a military press. She then
up the fucking stairs and then threw Sasha in the ring. And people can say what they want about Sasha not weighing that much.
Mm.
Coming from somebody that has become a strength athlete and has had the opportunity to see very strong people do very strong things over the last 2 years.
Right.
That to be able to walk up a set of stairs, like after the impact of the bump and the rolling through and all that other stuff.
How many people at your school at FSW do you think you could do that with?
I don't think, well, one, nobody, because there's not pads on the outside of our fucking ring. Maybe a few
people. Well, no, let's just say anyone in the who's walking around that building dives at you while you're outside of the ring and you catch them.
Alexander Hammerstone.
You could do that with Alexander Hammerstone?
Well, no. I'm not saying that I could fucking do it with him. I'm just saying that Alexander Hammerstone could do it to somebody else.
Yeah, he could do it. I'm asking, could you do that?
With my shoulder issues? Fuck no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man. Like, fun fact. I'm running into a lot of problems with bodybuilding, actually.
Oh, okay.
And it stems from my surgery scar on the right side of my body. I had a lobectomy, which hasn't been talked about on this show, but has been documented over the years. And I had the third lobe of my right lung removed, and the surgery scar is pretty hefty.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 12 inches from my ribs going all the way up my shoulder blade. And what I'm running into is...
On your back in a place where people could see it?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's visible, but also you haven't seen me wrestle in a singlet too much.
Right.
Remember, I used to wear my singlets higher to actually cover the scar up.
Right.
Now I don't give a fuck anymore.
Right.
So it's kind of loud and proud. And
chicks dig scars, man.
Yes. Absolutely they do.
That's what I hear around FMW rings.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Sabu did very well for himself in Japan.
Yes.
So what's happening is that unfortunately the scar tissue is so extreme that I'm underdeveloping on one side of my body and I'm overdeveloping on the other side of my body. So if you care...
In the skin?
In the muscle.
Oh.
Okay. You can actually see, if anybody follows me on Twitter at Cutthroat Cody, if you look on my profile picture, you will notice that my left trap is far fucking larger than my right trap. I'm unfortunately deformed, and it's.
I don't mean to laugh.
I wouldn't laugh about it, man, because it actually kind of sucks.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't mean to laugh, but you can't just be like, I'm deformed.
I can't properly do pull-ups. I can't properly bench press. Mm. I can't properly do a right hand quarter roll now that I put on mass. I'm deformed. Like, it's a deformity. And it's causing numbness all the way down from my shoulder to my fingertips on the left side of my body.
I like how you preface this as a fun fact.
Yes. Well, I'm the king of fun. That's also why I decided to cut right now.
Mm-hmm.
That way I can try to, my goal is to cut weight down a little bit. Sure. I want to lose about another 10 pounds.
Okay.
After already losing 10 pounds, I went from 190 to 180, and I am going to make an attempt, despite my physical therapist told me that I could try to go to massage therapist to try to break up the scar tissue.
Mm-hmm.
She said, good luck. And I won't know until I spend a lot of money to find out whether or not it's going to work. And there's a very strong possibility that after all the sessions that I take, it might not make a difference. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. But I'm going to give it a shot after I cut down 10 more pounds to 170. I'm going to go to a massage therapist to try to break up the scar tissue. And then I'm going to go back on a very, very heavy bulk and see if I can actually, my goal for last year was to break 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't crack 193.
Shucks, I wish I had that problem. Fucking Christ.
So, and then...
I remember the last time I was under 200 pounds.
When was that?
When I was the lead singer of a band, and my performances were so violent, I would sweat so much.
Yes.
That you could wring out my clothes at the end of every show.
Delicious.
And when the show's sort of slowed down, the you know, Taco Bell, you know, it sucks.
Yes.
In
yes.
more ways than one.
Man, I can't wait to actually, I got 3 weeks left on this fucking cut. And then after that, I will probably be enjoying some Taco Bell.
Ugh. Can you ever really enjoy Taco Bell?
As long as you take in consideration that it's not food. And it's just Taco Bell.
Hey, so this spun us off wildly from what we were talking about, which was WrestleMania.
Drive us back.
So you saw Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair.
Yes.
Much respect to the athleticism.
The athleticism, the actual match from front to back.
Working.
Yes, the working, the finish.
I mean, can you call it working? It's. I'm sure they were both. Who's the heel in that scenario? Well, I guess Sasha probably stepped it up. And
So here's the thing. In the world of professional wrestling, and mm-hmm. I have kind of become known as the king of babyface versus babyface matches.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why babyface versus babyface works is because it's a competition, correct?
Right.
And why couldn't
you? Oh, hey, you'll get no argument from me in this matter.
Yes. So there really wasn't a heel role in that match necessarily. Mm-hmm. Sasha was definitely more aggressive
right. And
was pulling some hair and shit like that. So she was,
that's why I say,
yes, she was an antagonist for sure.
They were attempting to assert that someone was being a little behind the backish.
Yes.
You know, in order to,
despite the crowd popping for Sasha Banks, like she's a goddamn baby face. Sure. That's out of control.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, dude, she's been a fan favorite there forever.
Yes. And I think
ever since Sasha's ratchet.
And I also think that a part of that is there's a little bit of a CM Punk syndrome, because she is gone on record to kind of air some grievances about the company before. And instead of being penalized for it, she's being like, well, fuck yeah, she's frustrated with shit.
What grievances? Because
there was a period of time that she was very vocal that she like needed time away.
Hey, look, I saw an interview with her and Steve Austin. She explains it quite eloquently.
Yes.
She's burnt out.
Yes.
And if the company, that's not airing grievances.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's a perfectly reasonable thing to say. I was working, you know, because look, that lifestyle, people forget that it's, it's, you say it's 6 days a week or like, oh, well, you know, we're only working 4 days a week this week, 3 days next week, 4 days following week. But but you're also spending a day traveling on either end.
Yes.
And really what you're getting is a day and a half to go home. And when you're home, you're washing your laundry.
Yep.
You're prepping food for a week.
Prepping food for a week and then possibly throwing out a lot of food that went bad while you weren't home.
You're booking your travel since they don't provide that. You know
Which
what I mean?
Which is like, fucking appalling. Like, yeah. I even when I wrestled in Oregon, they took care of my travel.
Well, they kind of should. The problem is that the WWE is the last of the traditional territories, and they took a lot of the things that worked for the territories, but they also held on to some things that benefited them.
Yeah.
Right? That everyone else in the world goes, well, how the fuck do they get away with this? You know, like insurance and things of that nature.
Well, and it's because they've listed their employees as independent contractors, yet they're not independent contractors, because if you were an independent contractor, you'd be able to go and do whatever the fuck you want to do, wherever you want to do it.
And that, by the way, that, as far as I know, well, with the exception of maybe anywhere on TV, it's even in AEW treated the same.
One of the superstars involved with the U.S. title tournament. Say, you're pretty cute. I said, you're cute.
Yeah, well, this is serious business. This isn't the dating game. This is wrestling. I don't sing. I don't dance. When I'm in my gear, I don't smile and joke. Tonight, I win the U.S. heavyweight title. And in a tournament where you have to wrestle three times in one night, all that sports entertainment crap goes out the window. It's time to shut up and wrestle. And that's what I do best. Because I'm from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And tomorrow morning, when I take that title home with me, they're going to have to rename it the Canadian Heavyweight Title.
I've heard different, but I don't know any like outright takes, but AEW kind of is it's the company that's trying to change the way that things are as far as how things have been ran for so long.
I've not seen it done any different. I mean, on one hand, look, as a fan, I'm a huge mark for Jon Moxley.
Yes.
The fact that, okay, he's running with the championship on AEW for a chunk of time, and then he goes to New Japan and he wins the IWGP US.
He showed up at like one of the GCW shows and then put Nick Gage through light tubes.
Right.
Yeah.
And that he's doing blood sports.
Yep.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, he's bouncing around all these places. As a fan, it's like, wow, that's great.
Yes.
As a promoter, I look at Tony Khan and go, is this guy a fucking idiot? Because look, that's one of your main dudes without question. If I were to watch AEW, I'd be watching to see Jon Moxley.
Yes.
And a couple other people. But Jon Moxley is taking some serious chances by going out and doing all these things. And AEW will be the one who has to ultimately pay for it if they're missing out on one of their top guys.
Right. And I think that maybe one aspect of possibility that, and once again, completely like hyperbole, if you want to say.
Hyperbole.
Yes. Thank you. Maybe he's viewing that as advertising for his company. And he's like, look at Jon Moxley.
I don't
think
this
show, I should probably pay attention to what Jon Moxley is doing on TV.
I would say it would be the other way around.
Right.
AEW would be advertisement for Jon Moxley at smaller organizations. Because there's not anybody who's like going to a blood sport, even though they didn't do them in front of people this year.
Right.
And going, I need to watch AEW. You know what I mean? It's going to be the other way around.
I don't know about that because AEW's fan base is very indie-centric.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. When he goes and does these indies, what's the difference?
One hand washes the other, right?
This metaphor is not making sense to me.
Okay. So in one hand, you have Tony Khan in a situation to where he has a top guy that basically goes from town to town being himself, and then there's an investment to pay attention to everything that Jon Moxley is doing, including his home base. If his home base is AEW.
The point is I don't think that anybody who watches this isn't already watching AEW.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and then at that point, that's when you are eating yourself, when the real fact is that it's not working if that's the thought process.
Right.
All I'm trying to say is that there's a possibility that may be the thought process.
Sure. By the way, like I say, as a fan, I like it.
Yes.
Because he's going to all these places that I actually like.
Yes.
Right. But if I were Tony Khan, I'd be like, you can't go to fucking Bloodsport and fucking gig yourself and get beat up and all this shit.
Right. But
where you fucking twist an ankle and you're going to be out for TV for, a bunch of weeks.
But the thing is that Tony Khan in himself is a fan.
Mm-hmm.
They booked an exploding barbed wire death match.
They booked it. I never saw it.
Right. Well, and
I didn't see the exploding part.
I was going to almost subject you to watch that, but I decided otherwise. I'm glad that was safe there. For those that are not able to have a visual of what just happened, Timothy Styles nearly just headbutt the microphone.
Yeah. All right. Carry on.
You're very nimble, but the Tony Khan is quintessential wrestling fan.
Sure.
Like he has a huge investment in the things that are popular on the indies.
Right.
Like that's why so for some reason.
Look, I'm not taking anything away from him.
Yeah.
The only thing that I think as I question his acumen as a businessman.
And I'm also not taking anything away from him either. I'm actually agreeing with you. I'm just putting
the forbidden
rationale.
Door. Yeah. The forbidden door and all this stuff. I'm all about it. I love the fact that on AEW, as much sloppy wrestling that is on there. One of my things that I love is I walk away going, wow, they're really enthusiastic and it really it popped off the screen, which I love, right?
Yes.
But I question some of the decisions that he makes as a booker and as a business person.
And that's the thing is that I think that one of the interesting things right now is that for some reason, deathmatch wrestling is becoming popular again on Twitter and Instagram.
Mm.
There are people that are making bootleg deathmatch wrestling merchandise. These pages are very popular. These people that are printing these limited run shirts are making a lot of money.
Sure.
And people are even selling VHS tapes from Japanese wrestling promotions. Like with the original box art and the covers and shit like that.
You mean there's no new deathmatch specific organizations. They're rehashing old stuff.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. Yes. And WWE doesn't give a flying fuck about that.
Sure.
Because their finger isn't necessarily on the pulse of what is going on the underground indie circuit of professional wrestling.
No, but look, it's trickle down economics.
Yep.
They set the standard and everyone else does their imitation or their anti-imitation of what they do.
And this is an anti-imitation.
Right. And ironically, oftentimes it still looks like poor man's WWE. There's a lot of people who don't understand that AEW is doing they're the same as the WWE in a lot of ways, but with less respect for certain fundamental kind of things like kayfabe but it's not like they have reinvented the industry in some grand way that's completely different from the WWE.
But I think that what they're trying to do I think that in their minds, they think that they are.
Oh, I do believe that.
And like, so for instance, man, like the Young Bucks, if you look, let's take away the Bullet Club from the Young Bucks.
Sure.
Okay. Take away the Crotch Chops and the Two Sweets.
Right.
And then the Young Bucks are not a parody of what professional wrestling was.
Or a meta inside joke.
And for, I think that the appeal of what the Bullet Club actually was, especially when the Young Bucks were around, was, hey guys, remember, it's the member berries.
Right.
From South Park. Hey, remember Degeneration X? That was cool. Hey, you guys remember NWO? That was cool.
Right.
And to their credit, they tugged on some heartstrings of nostalgia.
Right.
And they had a rebel attitude that attracted these hardcore, diehard wrestling fans.
Sure.
Okay. And then the whole entire start of the company being a fuck you to Jim Cornette.
Mm-hmm. Which company? AEW?
AEW.
Oh.
Because the bet was that Jim Cornette, that was
Dave Meltzer.
Jim Cornette bet Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks that they would.
Nope. That was Dave Meltzer.
Then whoever it was.
It was Dave. No, it wasn't even a bet. It was Dave Meltzer said that they had no chance in hell of filling a 10,000 seat arena.
Jim
Cornette had nothing to do with it.
I'm
telling you for a fact.
Okay, well, that's something that I would
and
like.
And Dave Meltzer ate his words and probably happily so.
Why? Okay, fact-checking is definitely necessary, and we don't have to do it during the episode because
Dave Meltzer is the
biggest supporter of AEW.
Absolutely.
Right, and Jim Cornette. From, like I said, there, Jim Cornette had some involvement in this.
You are stuck on this. I'm telling you as a matter of fact.
Okay.
That it was Dave Meltzer that said that they got a great following, but that they're not at a level where they can
they're
do
not going to be able and to Cody fill an Rhodes, arena.
Cody Rhodes took that as a challenge, and then they went and did it. Now, they had the help of New Japan and Ring of Honor.
Right.
But
and then at the end of all that, it kind of burnt New Japan and Ring of Honor because then all of a sudden you had this company that like took all of these top guys from these promotions. Bullet Club was kind of both New Japan and Ring of Honor because they're working relationship. And then that got taken away from them and left them in a pretty rough spot. But the popularity of the Bullet Club, going back to that, it was, I think the reason why it took off is because the wrestling fans that didn't turn off the TV,
mm-hmm.
And they're still like, well, I still love wrestling. It's like, yeah, what they're doing is cool. It's there is a little bit of a try hard ECW vibe. It's like, hey, we're the counterculture, right?
Right.
We're the promotion that they don't want you to see.
That's actually the one thing I try to keep in my head is that I was such a huge ECW fan.
Yes.
And there was a rebellious spirit to it. You know, I'm a punk rock kid.
Yeah.
And I try to keep that, hey, man, let your freak flag fly.
Yes.
If and when I do watch AEW. But I just don't remember that. And there was. And maybe it's the rose-tinted glass, the glasses. But I just don't remember ECW being that sloppy.
Right. Well, but unfortunately, I think that that's just kind of going back to looking at what's popular in wrestling now is that wrestling in today's day and age is very lucha centric.
Right.
Right. And unfortunately, lucha can go one of two ways.
That's funny.
It can go really fucking great. And it's like one of the most amazing things you've ever seen in your life. Or
get enough rookies in there. It's going to go south.
Yes. And I mean, even like, it's a high risk style.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's not just a term on commentary. Like, and the risk to reward ratio on that sometimes, man, Sabu was amazing in highlight reels.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he also has enough he has enough spots to fill up a blooper reel too.
and that and Sabu-a-mania.
Right.
Like that, and that's one of those things. And so I commend anybody that is willing to try to really throw themselves out there and do crazy fucking things. Sometimes in order to crack the room, you have to do something nuts. Right. But now I feel like the pressure to do something nuts is implied on every person to themselves. Right. And we're having people that are trying to be the Young Bucks that can't do what the Young Bucks can do because there's them. Right. Mm-hmm. You have people that are trying to do what Kenny Omega does, but there's only one Kenny Omega. And that's the
I think you're giving him too much credit.
Well, you know, that's like as far as athleticism, explosiveness, and things of that nature for most of his stuff. I
don't know. I'd say Karrion Kross has his facials down.
Right. I unfortunately was a very hard critic of Kenny Omega, and mm-hmm. then after watching his matches with Okada and things like that, I tried to ease up a little bit.
Sure.
But I still have opinions.
Right.
And for the sake of trying to be nice and getting a job, brother.
Well, hey, look, can I change the subject?
Yes, please.
Because we've been babbling on without direction so far.
Yep.
I mentioned I didn't watch the WWE or mm-hmm. WrestleMania. For the first time, by the way, since I was a child.
Wild.
Even when I was, there's been pockets of years where I haven't been a fan. I still watched WrestleMania all those years because, you know, you just want to check in and see what's new that year.
Yes.
But this year I didn't watch it and I still haven't. and then you hear it's good. And then I turned on Raw and then I saw this is bad. So yep. So I kicked it off. And then Thursday came around. I think it was Thursday. Or as I like to call it, Black Thursday.
Yep.
Annually, the WWE likes to do a mass exodus, so to speak.
Yeah.
Of their
spring
talent.
Cleaning.
Yeah, they trim the fat. How many other metaphors could we squeeze in there?
I think that's it. That's enough.
That's enough.
We reached the quota.
Right. So, yeah, they did an annual, they separated the wheat from the chaff. Oh, I can squeeze another
Fuck.
One in.
I'm not even going to try to attempt to refollow that up, man. I can't do it. I can't do it.
And, I suppose I didn't plan good enough to talk about this because I should have had a list in front of me. But let me see if I can go off of my memory. And I'm going to try to work from the bottom up.
Go ahead.
Chelsea Green.
Okay.
That's a girl, I believe.
Yes.
I do believe I had to Google her because I don't think she's wrestled this year.
I keep on talking because I actually was able to use the internet.
Right. So Chelsea Green, Billie Kay, and Peyton Royce.
Which Billie Kay and Peyton Royce were, I didn't get to watch too much of their stuff, but I know they were extremely popular for the short period of time that we're together as the Iconics?
Yeah, Iconics.
Yes.
I'll say, first of all, Peyton Royce is a smoke show.
Yeah, ma'am.
Good grief.
You're a fan.
She's a very attractive young lady. And then Billie Kay, ironically, is very attractive too, and then she puts on a bunch of clown makeup.
Yes.
I mean, she is heavy-handed with her choice and...
Maybe intentional.
I don't know.
There may be a level of genius there that we don't know because she's sharp.
If she is, I would be blown away.
Yes.
Because it's like, don't you want to go out there and I don't know. Maybe you're right, but I don't get that vibe.
Right.
But underneath all that makeup, she's striking.
Yes.
On top of that, she's fucking hysterical.
And extremely talented, right?
You ever see those clips of her just in like various highlight clips of her fucking running at, oh, was it Kayla Braxton or whatever, going, hey, Kayla!
Yeah.
Hey, Kayla!
Absolutely hilarious.
Or for a while, she kept saying, You gotta be joking me.
Yes.
God damn it, she was fucking funny.
Yes.
And even towards the end, all that fucking her running around with her resume, and I think she was trying to get in the riot squad, she exclaimed, I like punk rock, I listen to the Fall Out Boys, or whatever the fuck
yes.
she said.
Amazing.
She clearly gets it, but guess who doesn't get her?
Yeah,
Vince
WWE.
McMahon.
Yep. Unfortunately not.
I don't want to step on... Oh, who's
Mickey break? James.
Oh yeah, Mickey James. Oh, well, I don't even know why they had to announce that one. She, you know what I mean? She was not there for 15 years, and then
she came back to have a couple matches, and
liked her, and they said, "Hey, stick around. We need more women for our women's division." So yep. she did, and then they went, "Thanks for nothing."
Right, and then you also have Tucker, who was one half of Heavy Machinery.
You know, I've heard, so let's take this one step at a time.
Okay.
I've heard over the past several days since this was announced that, you know, people go like, oh, WWE, you got your heads up your asses, blah, blah, blah. Remember when fucking Heavy Machinery were awesome and then you split them up to blah, blah, blah. Look, with all due respect to Tuckerson, whatever his name is.
Tucky Tuckerson.
He was lucky to be on TV. This is a guy with not a great physique, not known for legendary matches. He got lumped together with an interesting looking person, and that person got picked.
Yep.
And that person gets split off, and then they Kleenex you. They're
yep.
done. They're done with you. It's no fair, but that's the way the business is.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he was not known for having a great career on the indies, as far as I know.
I can be completely honest with you. I
never heard of him.
Now
he gets to have the opposite career.
Yes.
This is new in recent years. Instead of people working from the bottom and going up, people now work from the top.
And they go to the bottom.
And then they slowly glide down. Remember, who was the guy who looked like Otis 5 years ago?
Brodus Clay.
No. He was... what was his name? Bulldozer? What the fuck was his name?
Bull Dempsey.
Bull Dempsey.
Yes.
That's right. Where's he at today? you know what I mean?
He's on the indies, and it actually is a shame because I've heard some really great Bull Dempsey stories.
I'm sure he's a great dude.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, I saw that writing on the wall the minute I saw him. Like, mm-hmm. All right, he's a thick guy, but he's not exactly tall. He's not big enough to be like a super heavyweight.
Right.
He's just a kind of a fat guy.
Yep.
And... ironically, now there's a lot of short people in NXT, and he'd probably fit in as a monster.
Yes. But oh, he could just throw people around on that roster. Absolutely.
With the exception of Karrion Kross.
Yes.
But, who's the last person?
So, well, I mean...
Oh, Tucker. Anyway,
yeah.
best of luck. I mean, like I say, the minute when they were not in NXT long enough...
No.
There's a handful of people who, for whatever reason, somebody at the top was like, we need another tag team. All right, we got Heavy Machinery. And then they just got lifted up before they were really over with their smaller crowd, which works as a sort of infection towards their bigger crowd.
Plucked before they were ripe.
Exactly. And it was just an easy fix to just cut him off. And let him, you know, do dark matches and whatever else until... So he should be thankful that he was able to get some TV time and hopefully who's smart and saved his money for a number of years.
1,000%. 1,000%. And that's the thing that you do hope for.
I think he probably only had like 2 years on the main roster. So whatever he made, what, fucking $300,000?
Let's hope.
I wonder if I'm being generous. Or not generous enough.
There needs to be a long-term change of some kind. And my biggest thing, and you know, we've talked about it, it's just there needs to be less heat. There needs to be baby faces that are portrayed as baby faces, heroes we can get behind. You know, look at all the popularity of all the Marvel shows. It's like the heroes win in them all.
Well, not only that, but somebody mentioned yesterday in a text message, they said that every Marvel movie, there are superheroes and supervillains. There are good guys and bad guys. There are barely any good guys in WWE. They're all bad guys. Half the good guys, you don't even know if they're actually good guys or not. They're just like crazy people.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I've been screaming about forever, and it's the misunderstanding or just idiocy of the, well, there's no heels and baby faces anymore, they're all shades of gray. And I've been screaming this forever. It's like Steve Austin was a complex character, and he had parts of his personality that may not be the traditional white meat 80s baby face, but he was the hero.
He was a baby face.
Yes. And Eddie Guerrero, even though he was lying, cheating, and stealing, he was a baby face.
Yes.
But I think there's those, and we won't name the head of those people, that think that it's all shades of gray, they're all tweeners. And it's like, no, you still need a protagonist and an antagonist. It's just the definitions have changed. And I think we need to get those proper protagonists again and protect them. And that's something that I've throughout my career and now as a trainer, when you get a baby face that's over, you have to protect that. Heels can always get their heat back. You don't have to protect the heels as much. And I think that
you barely have to protect him at all.
Yeah, because you can always get your heat back. But a baby face when he's really, really over is the most valuable thing in the world. And when you look at, you know, Bruno for 11 years and Hogan for his run and Austin for his run, it's like when you have that over baby face, that's generally when business is good and what you have to protect most. And unfortunately, and I think this is the real downfall with WWE currently, is the fact that they've been so caught up in Roman. And it was a friend of mine I was talking to, and he was talking about when the last time Dean comes back from an injury and they immediately put him in the Shield with Roman to give Roman the rub, and he minimized the value of Dean Ambrose a little bit. And Seth Rollins had a string there where he was like best match on Raw, he was getting really over as a babyface, and they second fiddled him to Roman in the Shield to get Roman or to get Braun over. And when they turned, to get Roman over, when they turned Braun heel briefly and put him with Drew and Ziggler just so they could use the Shield to get Roman over, you took about five or six of your top seven guys and you reduced their value for Roman, and now Roman's gone.
That's the thing that when all these things come up, you know, because one of the first things to say that's really easy to say is like, oh, I can't believe that they did this.
Cut so-and-so.
And like,
oh, we'll go over that at the end.
Callisto is also another one. Bo Dallas.
Hold on. You're blowing through them. Hold on.
Okay.
All right. So Callisto.
Yes.
Well, I guess they got Rey Mysterio back, so.
They don't need him.
I guess. Yeah. Because the WWE, they like to have a quota. We need a luchador.
So.
Someone to sell masks.
This is a rumor.
Oh,
and it's coming from Hunico, who was the second Sin Cara.
Right.
I listened to an interview that he cut recently, and apparently Callisto was intended to become Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
They were very interested in buying Rey Mysterio out for the rights of the name and slapping a fucking mask and then kind of making it a legacy gimmick.
I guess it's such a terrible idea. I wonder whose idea this is, because didn't they try this once with fucking Diesel and...
Right, Diesel and Kevin Nash. And so think about, I think the only instance...
Razor Ramon.
There's a few instances that it's worked, okay? Mr. Wrestling, okay? There's a number of different Mr. Wrestlings.
Times have changed since
yep,
then.
There's a number of different grapplers. Tiger Mask.
Right.
But at the same time,
also that is a American modern wrestling is still different from Japan, obviously.
Well, the thing that so Tiger Mask wasn't a wrestler first, it was a fucking anime.
Right, it's a cartoon.
It was a fucking cartoon, and then you just put somebody in the fucking thing and go wrestle because you're a cartoon character. Yushin Liger was also a cartoon, but Yushin Liger stayed around long enough and was able to just carry that out through his entire career.
Right.
So the Callisto thing is, what do you honestly think? What do you think would have fucking happened if you would have put him in a fucking Rey Mysterio mask when he doesn't even have the same tattoos?
All right.
And see, I guess seemingly they kind of look similar, but...
Well, fuck, they did it with Sin Cara.
And they were able to do it with Sin Cara because...
Sin Cara wasn't known... Right. It wasn't a legendary
Right.
Luchador.
It wasn't a legendary luchador because Mystico was a Mexican legend, but right. not Sin Cara.
Right.
And you were able, because they had a similar build, and then I don't know if you noticed, but for a really long time, Hunico tried to cover his tattoo.
Right.
Because he has a tattoo that goes all the way up his arm, and it also comes across his chest. He started wearing sleeves
right.
to cover that. So they tried masking that. And to Joe, like maybe to a small child, right? Or maybe a very elderly person that doesn't pay attention, or maybe somebody that's just really high. They might not be able to tell the difference.
Right.
You feeling good?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what a terrible fucking idea if that's true.
Well, you look, it's a rumor.
Yeah.
And man. It didn't come to be.
Right.
So, chances are,
very
somebody got wise, was like, that is the stupidest shit I've ever heard, and
yes.
get out of my office.
Thankfully. So at least somebody has some fucking common sense.
Right.
Yeah, man.
And plus, I guess they got, now that I think about it, they got a whole bunch of luchadors. So what does it really matter? Because to them, it's just a bunch of masked Mexicans.
Yes, sir.
To them, what do we need this guy for? We got Lince Dorado.
Yep.
And fucking all the other people in Lucha House Party.
Yep. And it is a shame, man, because there is a part of me that, like, those guys are great. Callisto was good. Like,
yeah, he's not, he wasn't sloppy or anything. His
his promo wasn't so good.
Well, I look,
yeah.
he had one chance, and we all know what happened there. They were like, hey, we're going to trust you with a live mic. All right, here you go.
Yep.
and yeah, I'm going to go out there and do my lucha thing.
Woo! Yes. Yes. Amen.
And he runs off camera. He realizes, shit, and just runs. Ah!
To quote the Big Lebowski, sometimes you eat the bar, and sometimes the bar, well, it eats you.
First of all, I can't stop thinking about Baron Corbin being on SmackDown. I get to have my revenge. Is that scary? Hey, like I said, I'm here to stay and make a good lucha thing.
All right, now the next name on the list, this is a former NXT champion.
Yep.
Say the name again.
Bo Dallas.
Thank you. Bo Dallas. All right, I'm going to be harsh again.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Dallas is someone else who should feel lucky that they got some TV time.
I was kind of shocked to know that he wasn't let go of before.
Because he hadn't been on TV in 2 years.
And not only that, but that's also, here's the thing that kind of sucks is that you're going to just sit somebody at home
right.
and not utilize them under contract.
Well, look,
man,
maybe he was at catering for fucking 2 years. We don't know.
Well, I'm more than positive that he was, and he was still on the payroll because he's still under contract and yada, yada, yada. And then you always heard stories about like that in WCW, how some of these wrestlers would be offered these huge money contracts and then they would still make their money just to sit at home and shit.
Right.
And then you lock them out of opportunities to actually do what they want to do with their lives. Bo Dallas is, I believe, second generation from Mike Rotunda.
Mike Rotunda's
the
son.
Brother.
That's third generation.
My apology. Yeah. Third generation, the brother of Bray Wyatt.
Right.
And I will say this much right now. When the Bo Leave thing was happening, he was capable in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, was he ever going to transcend into being the next Hulk Hogan, Rock, Stone Cold, Steve Austin? Fuck no.
Right.
But would he have been a solid enough wrestler to be on the fucking mid card, to fucking be in a tag team, to be in the Intercontinental title picture? Yes.
Well, the problem is that that's what they got.
Yes.
That's what they used him for.
Yes.
And they did it for several years. And at a certain point, you got to go, all right, we've done enough.
Yes.
With him. You know what I mean?
And
like, because
yes.
he was on the B team. He had several chances
yep.
to really stand out.
He's the only one of the B team that didn't necessarily go on to do really great things.
Right.
You know, like even Heath Slater had some really cool moments.
Right.
You know, like,
bro, fucking Brock Lesnar telling him, I don't give a shit about your kids, is one of the best moments ever. Because he warms up to him. Hey, man, look, I respect you.
Well, and not only
I got kids, too.
Yeah. here's one of my favorite things in the world. When he got fired when Heath Slater actually got canned, my man immediately went on the internet, and then the logo for the I Have Kids shirt, uh-huh. he then used a very similar logo, and it just said, I got fired.
Right.
That man deserves money.
Sure.
Yes.
Does he deserve money? He was able to eke out a job with that organization for a decade.
Man,
look, there need, we talked about this in prior episodes, there needs to be the guy who's never going to win
yes.
on your show. And they've had a few over the years.
Yep.
And he filled that role pretty good.
That was a big yawn. My apologies.
That's quite all right.
Yes.
What, am I boring you?
Yeah. No, I'm just sleepy.
But yeah, so Bo Dallas out. Look, I think he has a interesting looking face. That's how I'm going to put that. Here's a nice way to put it. He's not a classically handsome man. Does that read?
That reads.
You know what I mean?
But then again, then I don't.
It's not like he's known for his great physique. He's got his belly's flabbing about all over the place.
Yeah.
You know? And then on top of that, you look at him in the face and it's like.
He had the 80s power cut that you were talking about, dog.
No. No, he looks like he had it at one time and then just dropped 40 pounds.
Yep.
And then there was a lot of loose extra skin.
Well,
he.
Which is also why I wear a singlet. So.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
No one sent him that message.
Yes.
Is Mojo Rawley next on the list?
Yes, it is.
Well, I feel like I'm burying all these people, but
here's harsh facts. Okay. WWE has so many people under contracts,
mm-hmm.
right? And if anyone is really that upset about any of these people, I challenge them to pull out their Mojo Rawley shirt. I challenge them to pull out their fucking Kalisto shirt. I challenge them to pull out their Bo Leave shirt. And if you had a fucking Bo Leave shirt, then by all means, man, yeah, it fucking sucks. But let's not fucking pretend like there's not people on this list that some people didn't even fucking think about
since
they haven't been on fucking television.
Wasn't Shocked Undertaker guy wearing a Bo Leave shirt?
Yes.
Was he?
Yes, he was. And
so that guy's probably, and not only has the Undertaker been beaten.
Yep.
But it's been let go.
Yeah. But that's the thing too, though, is that I will say that I do feel for some of these people, and I feel for any of them, because right. here's the hard part. I think that these people are probably breathing fucking fresh air right now. Cause sure. like, fuck, now I can actually finally go do what I want to do with my fucking life.
Assuming that that's what they wanted to do.
Yes. And you hear,
look, let's be real. I'm sure there are plenty of people who are in catering and they're like, oh, thank Christ, I'm not on the card tonight. You know what I mean?
I would be one of the most miserable people in the world if I get signed to a fucking contract and then I was fucking kept on a fucking shelf for 2 years being paid money without being able to go out and fucking wrestle.
Yeah, you say that now. But
I say that now.
Let's say that you do that schedule that I talked about earlier.
Yes.
6 days a week of flying and fighting and washing the laundry and yeah. prepping the meals and all that stuff.
And
you do that for a few years and then know what I mean? You know what I'm getting at?
And like, I do know what you're getting at. And I was able to experience a little taste of that pie when I was doing the magic shit.
Right.
Because when you are having to live in different areas of Europe while you're practicing the show and you're bouncing from one place to another place. And then when you're on a cabin, you have to wash your clothes
right.
in a fucking sink.
That's not what I'm really, right. That's not really what I'm getting at. It's a miserable lifestyle.
It's a miserable where lifestyle.
You become a gypsy. Either adopt the mentality that goes along with it.
Yes.
And embrace it. You know what I mean? Like a rock star would go on, you know, back in the 70s, I'm on tour, brother, for fucking 500 days, you know. But even then, when that tour is done, they're physically and mentally, despite the fact that all they did was play guitar for an hour a night, they're physically and mentally exhausted. Now,
and kissing the ground when they walk through their front door.
Correct. Now, imagine you're a wrestler and you're flying and driving, you know, and you're flying coach or whatever, you know, you're, and then you're having these matches every night. Some of them are stiffer than others.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to a new town, but they're pretty much the same towns over and over and over.
Yes.
Where it's like, how many times am I going to go see the fucking Virginia, you know, State Virginia Museum?
Yeah.
You know, it's so, a boring, it's a boring, lonely, painful, and oftentimes just miserable lifestyle unless you go, you know, like, I love the lifestyle part of it.
Right. And, you know? And for me, I would, there was aspects of when I was wrestling in Oregon that would drain me because of the travel and things of that nature.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I was being able to be paid for doing what I wanted to do with my life.
Right.
And then at that point, like, I've never been bored. I haven't been bored since I was fucking 12. Right. The crying of boredom. Like, I keep myself busy.
Right.
All the fucking time. Like, to the point to where I don't socialize with people.
Sure.
You know? And that, for me, I prefer that. Because if I don't do anything, then I don't feel like I'm accomplishing anything. So, if...
I'll say I'm surprised that Mojo Raleigh was able to squeak in through the door.
It's wild because they tried to repackage him so many times, but
I only remember the one.
Right.
Where he showed up with cracks on his face.
Yes.
But by and large, before that, it was just like, he's the guy who's always shouting, but another person who aesthetically was not particularly pleasing in any single way.
Overamped college jock.
Yeah, he was a frat brother. By the way, that would have been a better gimmick.
Yes.
If he were like Chris Masters, or what was that guy's name who went on to do the brain stuff? Chris Nowinski.
Chris Nowinski, yes.
You know what I mean? If his gimmick was, he's a frat bro.
Make it a stable. Make it a stable.
Well, but even if I'm just saying.
It was a tag team at some point with somebody else. I can't remember.
Zack Ryder.
That's right.
But that's because they needed, like, hey, go help out Mojo Ryder. Mm-hmm. Raleigh. So, all right. Who else is on this list?
I think there's only one more name before the big one. Wesley,
because I know we're
going to
talk
Blake
about the big one for a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wesley Blake. Wesley Blake, you know, people forget that NXT, towards its rise to, you know, when it was really good.
Oh, I think this falls under the category of fuck you guy. I had to look him up because I couldn't remember who he was. Go ahead.
Why do you mean fuck you guy?
Fucking some people should learn, and this is something that my granddad taught me at a very young age.
Uh-huh.
If you want to keep your friends, you don't discuss your fucking politics, you don't discuss your fucking religion.
So he's on Twitter going, hey, yes, man, Donald Trump's the shit?
Yes. If I remember correctly, yes. I may be speaking out of turn, but go on. You go.
Well, I was going to say, he was in that tag team, him and Buddy Murphy, the most unfortunately named guy ever.
Yes.
And Alexa Bliss is their rounded out the entourage. Oh, damn it. I said the A word.
Yep. And anytime you say the A word.
Sorry, I have a Amazon Echo in here. And anytime you say the A word, she lights up.
I will take back what I said about Wesley Blake. It was Jason Ryker who was the asshole. So, yes.
Why do I know that name? Who's that?
They were all in a stable. And I can't remember the name of the stable. It was Jackson Ryker, Steve Cutler, and Wesley Blake, the Forgotten Sons.
Oh, that's like the half biker gimmick?
And they are Forgotten Sons.
Oh,
pun intended.
All right. Now that I've buried all these people who've been cut. Look, you can't bring in new people unless some people go out. Now, I'll tell you, I'm surprised that there are some people that are still there and I don't need to be naming names.
Yep.
But I'm not surprised with some of them. Some of them I am. Like, I'm weirded out by why they chose to clean out Billy Kay and Peyton Royce.
Which Billy Kay was literally on WrestleMania, like, fucking right there.
She was part of entertaining segments leading into it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, hey, we need some comic fodder. Get Billy Carruthers. She's always hilarious. And yeah. then to just go like, all right, we've had enough of your shit.
Yep.
And out you go. Yep. I mean, and then they had Peyton Royce cutting promos about, you know,
and let's, you know, you go
to sort of elevate herself, go out there on, you know, Talking Smack or whatever it is and go cut a promo, whatever she does. And she's gone shortly thereafter. And it's the one that even their own media team was like, wow, Peyton Royce is really, you know, firing up.
Yep. And so let's also take in consideration, what if some of these people are in a situation to where maybe some of them asked for their release?
Yeah.
And maybe they weren't granted it until they knew that they were comfortable enough to release them at the time they wanted to release them. There could be an element of that in there too.
There's a lot of things like that, that's like, well, we don't know.
Right. And I'm sure we'll find out, because everyone will most likely have something to say afterwards.
I mean, I think the obvious thing is that, hey, Peyton Royce is, I think she's either engaged or to be married, or is just boyfriend and girlfriend with Sean Spears.
Yep.
And, oh, here's another thing. I'm willing to believe that the WWE wants AEW to do better, to create an actual competitor that they can stay ahead of, and create a fabricate their own war.
So and no better example than that than the there's your theory is kind of coinciding with also the Jim Cornette theory, mm-hmm. To where they don't necessarily see them as a threat.
Well, they but certainly aren't.
They're acknowledging the fact that it exists by allowing Chris Jericho to be on the Broken Skull sessions and things of that nature.
Sure.
So it does seem like there may be an unspoken plan that may be there.
Right.
I mean,
like it's not something I can 100% put my finger on.
Yep.
But it's like, look, they completely scrubbed away the majority of the industry, and their big problem is that they need stars. Now they could try to make them, but that doesn't always work.
Yep.
But anytime they pull someone from somewhere else, even if it's a shitty organization like TNA, like, hey, the minute Samoa Joe shows up, you go, oh shit, it's on.
Yep.
Despite the fact no one watched TNA.
Yep.
Like, I speak on behalf of everyone.
Right. Well, there are some people that did. But
sure, of course.
Their numbers do not reflect the amount of numbers from WWE and AEW. That's right. 1,000%.
Yeah, but the point is, if they have people to pluck from other organizations to bring in who are already made, they can have some drawing power, which yes. they desperately need.
Yes. And then at that point, I mean, even like the stories about McMahon helping ECW out silently,
sure.
you know, and things of that nature. And you create a little bit of buzz around an industry, and then it gets more people invested in both products, right. you know, and then you get the opportunity to have them pick or choose.
So with all that in mind, though, the idea of maybe pumping up another promotion, because you know that because of just looking at their product, they're never going to surpass us. They're right. not going to get, they're never going to, as long as they're doing this exploding barbed wire horseshit, they're never going to get to our level. Let's pump them up. So at least when we get some star from them, that they'll seem like a draw.
Yeah. I think this is a very valid thought process.
On that note, they also let go of Samoa Joe, who they took from TNA. They would never work with TNA because to them, TNA is shit.
Yep.
And by the way, to me, TNA is shit.
Yep. Well, and even WWE themselves have also acknowledged TNA's existence when they put Jeff Jarrett in the Hall of Fame, and they give him a little tiny bit of a, like, I think it wasn't like a documentary, but it was like one of those like segments. Like, and it's like, hey, here's 15 minutes about Jeff Jarrett, and he was the King of the Mountain in TNA.
Right.
Shit like that.
Yeah, but anyway, so they let Samoa Joe go, and I gotta tell you, if I were to make, Let's say I were a wrestler. That should make enough people laugh. If I were putting together my own personal four horsemen. Oh, let's say I was J.J. Dillon.
Okay.
And I'm making my new four horsemen. And I can do it from any era of dudes in their prime. Whew. Samoa Joe might be on my list.
Yeah.
Of just guys who I've consistently, every time I've seen him, I've went, that is the dude. That guy is badass. His gimmick speaks to me. And you know, we've, over the course of 11 episodes now, I think people can figure out what kind of wrestling I'm kind of into based on how I've spoken or what I've admitted to enjoying or whatever.
Yes.
It should be no surprise. Samoa Joe, I think, is one of the greats of this generation.
He checks off a lot of your marks in your list.
Right. At the same time, he will probably go down in history much in the same way that Rowdy Roddy Piper did. A guy who did it his own way, but never got to have... He never got to really reach the top, so to speak, for a stretch. And I mean that in a literal holding some gold way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He was at the top. He, you know, they needed someone for Brock Lesnar to beat. He gave him a worthy challenger for a change.
Yes.
You know.
Man, that match was fucking... And it didn't need to be fucking 30 minutes, man. It was the exact amount of time it needed to be, and they started fucking hot.
Right.
Hot.
And it was the first time you thought, like, this is the... I think the line share people were Brock's like...
Brock's in danger.
A lot of people were like, this is the guy who's going to do it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Everyone else just thought, like, oh, who's Brock eating today?
Yes.
Joe, during that Great Balls of Fire, that one-off pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
people were like, yo, Joe's going to fucking get it done. It didn't happen, but goddamn, you got a fucking 10-minute brawl.
It would have been nice if it did happen.
Right.
Because I think that would have been... That would have been the time. It would have been the time, even if you were to give him the transitional nod, man. Like, I mean, we've talked about Samoa Joe a lot before, and I feel this is going to be a very unpopular opinion, and they were very late with signing him.
Oh, without question.
And
at the same time, he's younger than I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The problem is much like Daniel Bryan or Nigel McGuinness, his style dictates wear and tear.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The Miz will be able to, he's the cockroach of the industry. He'll be able to work forever.
Yep. Yep.
But the people who you actually respect, their lifespan gets cut short. Not yes. their lifespan, their career gets cut short in the, you know, I'm fucking fumbling over words here.
The
point is, did they sign him late? Yes. You know, now he's got knee braces on both knees or whatever he's got. Or the fact that he probably suffered enough concussions where now now he doesn't pass their protocol.
That is also another muttering that's coming out. And like I said, like, time will tell. But
look, all you need to do is watch the show to do the math. Like, why is he on commentary every week? And like, well, at least they're giving him something to do.
If he can't pass the concussion protocol, and if it turns into a situation to where he was like Daniel Bryan, and he said, listen.
Or like Corey Graves.
Yeah, I want to wrestle. Your doctors won't clear me to wrestle.
Right.
Please release me. Like that could be a thing. Right. It seems very strange because he was getting very comfy in that commentator booth.
Yeah. So a lot of people regarding him as the best thing about their commentary.
Yes.
Which is not hard to do. Let's be real.
No, not at all. But it's just very, some of these decisions seem very strange.
Yeah. Right? Where
and
you,
some
you,
of them don't to, seem strange at all.
Where you have to wonder, like, what's behind that? There's got to be something I don't know behind that.
And
you know what I mean?
Whether it be also remember that this could be some of this could be from the fallout of the third party deals of where the logistics and
the Twitch and all that.
That maybe this has something to do with it. Maybe you got to remember that who was it? It was Was it Selena that used to come out with Andrade?
Yeah.
And she basically was like, yo, fucking union, motherfucker.
Right.
Like, so if one person is saying something in a locker room, you better be fucking sure there's a lot of other people that are talking about the same shit in the locker room.
I don't think that a guy with the career that Joe has would be foolish enough to do shit like that.
And I don't think that either. But at the same time, like, just trying to put a little bit more reason, like... This wasn't random.
Well, look, the fact that he's cut does not bother me.
Right. It doesn't feel like spring cleaning with some of them.
Correct.
Yeah.
The fact that any of them are cut doesn't bother me because there's some certain underlying things that I don't fully understand. Like, oh, why would you get rid of that person? They seem to be doing really well.
Yep.
You know, what blows me away. What makes me a little sad is that they had this guy who was a beast in size. I can tell you, I'm sure you have as well.
Yeah.
I saw Samoa Joe in person and I was like, God damn. Big and boy. I don't say that about a lot of wrestlers where I go, I ain't fucking with that dude. You know what I mean? He was a beast of a dude who had the respect of not only his peers, but fans, which is so hard to get.
Very often that you get both.
Think about all the people that they try to push, like, you're going to be our big dog. In fact, we're going to call you big dog.
I mean, even going back to the James clip, he kind of summarizes it very, very well.
Right, if you don't have the respect of the fans, you're not going to get over.
No.
This is a guy who was fucking respected in the WWE day one because he had an entire legacy before that, you know, that really all stems from a great career in Ring of Honor, but ultimately a trilogy of legendarily great matches with CM Punk.
Yes.
That was enough for him to build an entire career off of.
Yes.
So you got a guy who is a fan favorite, who's a beast of a dude, who's over, and you couldn't quite get him to the top. That's the part that frustrates you a little bit. Because it's not like, oh, he was in a top position and then he was injured.
Right.
It was, we're keeping him around the middle, and then he got injured. And then he never really got pushed any higher than that ever again.
And I think that there was always a blind hope after seeing AJ come in, right?
Right.
You know, and even look at like the decline of AJ Styles. Like AJ Styles, like his debut when he debuted at Royal Rumble,
mm-hmm.
and then they just had Roman Reigns waiting in the ring, and then the music hits and the camera's on his face and nobody knows the music. Right. And then all of a sudden the graphic flashes and then AJ comes out and the look on his face. That was a, oh, fuck moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there was a little bit of, like I said, it was a kind of a blind hope of like, man, Samoa Joe's here too, man. Shit's gonna, this is cool. This is amazing. And especially having these acquisitions after losing Punk,
mm-hmm.
you know, it almost kind of felt like, okay, well, let's see what happens. And it seemed like they gave AJ a lot, and it seems like they gave Joe dick.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's the part where I go, God damn these guys.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? You
know? Well, and let's hope, you know, I mean, there's always an exciting period of time when people like that get released, because then it brings up the opportunity to possibly run into these people. It brings up the opportunity to have them possibly teach a seminar. You know, we got MVP right before he got re-signed to WWE.
Shit, I was at that Ring of Honor show between TNA and NXT
yes.
when Samoa Joe showed up.
Just randomly showed up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. So I think that the one thing about wrestling is that real wrestling fans love wrestling.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck about the company. They don't care about that. They just love wrestling. I love wrestling. Like
let's be real. Some promotions are better than others.
Oh,
and that's either subjective or objective. I forget which, but you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
there are some look, AEW aesthetically looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the WWE, although its production is top notch, putting all the product together isn't really cool.
And I think that, so I kind of, the shotgun analogy has been passed by the wrestling school lately about how whenever anyone pulls the trigger, they try to put the shells back into the barrel.
Right.
That's just, it's just such a part of wrestling in general. It's not even just WWE. Like, it's the whole entire landscape of wrestling. It's like, hey, we got a really good idea. Let's backpedal on that. And instead of playing it out to fruition, because some people can have bad nights, mm-hmm. right? You can go out and you can have a bad night. And it's like, well, fuck, man. Like, even though it was a bad night, let's learn from what we did last time and let's put you back out there and let's fucking get it again. And let's see if we can fucking wake it back up, mm-hmm. you know, revive it, put some life into it. Wrestling seems to be the only thing in the world that just dead fucking stops. It's like, oh, I didn't want to cut it, kill it, kill it before it lays eggs. Like,
you're telling me.
And then they have these other things that they, on the opposite end of that spectrum, they fucking shoehorn. And like, no, you're going to like this. I don't like this. Oh, no, you're going to like it. And we're going to keep doing it until you like it. But I don't like this.
Well, you just described John Cena's entire career.
Right. And I mean, I wouldn't.
Here was my impression of the WWE, if it were a person during that time period. Hey, you know that guy you liked, John Cena? Well, now he's better now, and you love him.
Yes.
Actually, I don't like him that much.
Yep.
Yeah, you do. Check him out. Look at him. He's cool. Look at it. He's got a hat and a towel. I'm not that big of a fan. You love him.
Yep.
I'm not the biggest. Okay, come on, buy a shirt.
What was it? There was an animated short called Dr. Tron, I believe.
I'm not sure.
Yes, that was very similar along the lines. And it's like this little tiny dude, and they're like, Dr. Tron has a 12-inch. What? And he is like, no, I don't.
Well, hey, look. This has got to be our most rambled episode ever, I think. Well, maybe I'll. Look, I'm starting to feel the vaccine kick in. I'm not kidding.
Well, instead of dragging this one out.
No. Let me finish my thought.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to reason, like, maybe I've rambled on without direction for an entire episode for a change because I'm trying to blame it on the vaccine. Like, I feel my arm hurting. I feel a little clammy.
And honestly, like, I'm looking at you, man. Like, I...
Oh, stop it. I'm not terrible. I'm just saying I feel a little off. Anyway,
My second shot of the vaccine was the exact same thing.
All right.
Yeah.
The point is next week we'll be more focused and hopefully I'll be slightly funnier. But I wanted to wrap it up with... I'm going to pose one question.
Yes.
We'll wear it out and then we'll wrap the show up. The WWE every year has had this Black Thursday kind of deal, although it's not always on a Thursday. Or maybe it is on a Thursday and I don't realize because maybe like
that'd
it's
be
some sort of corporate thing where it's like it's best to, if you're going to fire a bunch of people. Fire them on Thursday. They get a 3-day weekend. Yep. They've already forgotten about their, you know, the early and they're less pissed off and maybe they're, you know. So maybe it is Thursday every year. So... But they do this every year, and they have to. I understand. Once again, as a business person, you got to clean house a little bit.
Yes.
But why does there need to be a spring cleaning? Do you think it's wise of them to continue to do this and raise the ire of fans annually, or not fans, marks annually? Whereas instead, they could once a month let go of who's Bray Wyatt's brother again?
Bo Dallas.
This is even worse. He's the most unforgettable fucker ever.
I think at that point, man, so instead of holding these guys underneath a contract and not letting them do what they want to do, you let them go one at a time as individuals instead of it's automatically going to be bad when you lump people into a large group of people.
Right.
Because then what does that do?
Now it's like, you know, every year they got the Hall of Fame class. Hey, yeah. This year's Hall of Fame. Now they're going to start having to have the laid off class.
Yeah.
2021, Samoa Joe's the headliner.
Yeah. And, but that's, so instead
By the way, they missed all their normal quotas. There's got to be a black dude.
Yep.
I'm joking. Come on.
I got you.
I'm trying to make a metaphor for their own Hall of Fame. Anyway, go on.
But if somebody is not, it's kind of like in most jobs, right? You just have that one person that just, they're really not doing anything other than just being a body in the building.
Yeah.
And then they suck and they're not good at what they do.
They don't really elevate anybody when they're in the ring. Yeah. Even when they're losing.
And so at that point, like, you would think that, you know, evaluation periods should be more than twice a fucking year. You should evaluate people maybe at the end of a quarter. Right. And it's like, hey man, like, this unfortunately isn't necessarily working out. And also another thing, the announcements, right? And it's like,
and by the way, they're so flippant. I would rather you didn't say anything, because I don't need this. The WWE wishes them their future endeavors and blah, blah. Just shut the fuck up.
You don't, obviously you're not wishing them that well in their future endeavors.
Yeah,
when
if
you're
you do
blasting
it to everyone all at once. And
there's no other job in the world where you go into work and then they're like, hey guys, quick little work meeting. Frank, we had to fire. We wish him the best. It's just kind of like, a week goes by, I'm like, man, what happened to Frank? 2 weeks goes by, I was like, man, fuck, what happened to Frank? And then 3 weeks go by, and then you finally ask somebody, it's like, oh, yeah. They had to let Frank go.
Well, look, I think Al Snow said it best. You can't fire an independent contractor.
You can't.
You can only terminate the contract.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that they're fired. That just means we've used you for what we're going to use you for, and now we no longer need your services, and we wish you to go on and do what your service elsewhere, and if we need you, we'll use you again.
And honestly, that, so the way that you put it is realistic. Okay.
Right.
Look,
fans will never fucking understand. Looking at any of these stupid Reddit and Twitter and Instagram feeds of people like, you fucking idiots, how could you dare, blah, 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 blah.
Well,
you know,
it was no different than when they released that many people during the pandemic.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, what are they going to do when you can't even run fucking live shows?
Like, yeah, look, I like Brian Alvarez. He makes me laugh.
Yeah.
But they bring it up so often. Like, these people, they're out of work and during the pandemic, how dare they, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's like, look.
And they might be able to qualify for fucking unemployment. Like,
not only that, but look, if they were smart, they saved their money.
Yes.
The only exception I make is for the Good Brothers.
Yeah, man.
Because these guys turned down an offer to stick around there.
In hopes of something.
Well, not in hopes of anything. They were given a new contract that beefed them up considerably. And then this happened, and it was a good excuse to cut them. Now they saw, you know, that their bridge was burned.
Yeah.
But that they saw what the competition was and went, oh, we don't need to worry about this. You can chuck these guys, despite the fact that they're good to have in any locker room.
Let's not think that WWE is the only multi-million-dollar company in the world that fucking slits fucking people's throats. Let's not fucking pretend like every fucking workplace is a positive growing environment.
Hey, look, I'll say this, because I want to keep it specific to wrestling, because that's obviously a corporate thing.
Right.
Across the country.
Yes.
But wrestling.
Yes.
There will come a time, I guarantee you, there will come a time where Tony Khan is going to get told by his old man or whatever, you know, I don't know how much of his own money is going into this organization,
yep,
but there will come a time where Papa Khan, sorry.
It's okay.
Papa Khan is going to go.
Papa Khan's pizza.
Hey, this shit has cost us $50 million over the past 5 years. Has it turning a profit yet or not? And the answer is going to be like, oh, well, you know, seriously, And then he's going to have to take a look at, like, oh, why do I have 100 fucking wrestlers? Oh, because I had to rescue everyone who was fired because he's a nice guy and he wants to do the right thing. That's great and all, but you are running a business. And it's not like they're doing a bunch of shit to make themselves tons of money.
Right.
They have sponsorships. They have a television deal. That is not going to cover everything, especially if you have a bunch of overpaid people who aren't ready for TV on that show.
Right.
And there's going to be a mass exodus over there one day. I guarantee you. And Joey Janela and fucking Marco Stunt and a whole series of people are lumped together. You know, they probably won't give them the future endeavor. They'll probably smartly just do it quietly one at a time and go, hey, look, we got too many fucking people over here.
Right.
And we need to actually turn a profit.
And that's the thing is that it's so easy to just try to vilify, you know, and yeah, it does suck. But are all these people going to have jobs forever? Right. Are all... Eventually, at some point in time, like you said, when your services have been used, and if there's no longer a need for your services, thank you so much for what you have done. And then if it can work out later on, we'll let you know.
And if you're a professional wrestler, let this shit be a warning to you.
Yeah, man.
Do not rush to the performance center before you're jack shit.
Yeah.
And try to get right to the top, because you might get right to the top, and then you'll slowly coast to the bottom, and it should be the other way around.